Hello, everyone. This is the Easy Allies Podcast. I'm your moderator, Kyle Bossman, and joining us this week, Michael Damiani.
Hello.
Bradley Ellis. Brandon Jones.
Yeah.
And making this all happen, Ian Hink.
Hey, you got way sloucher.
I'm a sloucher.
You're a sloucher.
I was thinking the other day that I would love to just be Larry King, like skip 30 years and just get straight to it, dude.
You just want to skip 30 years of your life?
Just like,
because that's
just
what you're
click,
looking forward
dude.
To right
just
now.
Just pressing
yeah.
the like, click thing.
Yep. You want to be Larry King, the physical aspect?
Yeah. Just,
I think you could rock suspenders. I think I could see it.
Yeah,
what the
slouch
hell?
Just
no, that is
hanging
the
out on my
craziest
desk.
Thing I've ever heard.
And like, I feel like he's a presence missing from television right now.
Larry King?
Yes.
Isn't he still in like TV?
I think he's still got things like Dan Rather does, you know? He's
dude,
like still
give him a
doing
break,
things.
Man. He's old, dude.
I know, he is. He just hasn't been replaced.
Oh, I know.
You know?
He loves it.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy that's going to do his job until he dies because he likes it.
Yes. But, you know, we need more Larry Kings.
okay.
It is time to initiate the Desire Index. Jones, you'll be happy to see where it's at, maybe.
I like it. Well, I cut the podcast last
oh,
week.
Oh, yes.
I'm caught up. I'm caught up.
We do have a new rule. So someone in the comments suggested that it's like it's not cool to have games move. And I kind of agree with that. And so here's the rule. Here's the new rule. A game cannot move up or down the Desire Index. It's already in there unless there was a substantial new trailer or a new headline that week. So it's like we can't just move things willy-nilly, just like, you know what, Cyberpunk number two this week. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to, we have to have a
substantial
reason.
Obviously.
What about a substantial new argument?
Yeah.
No. A new
a
thing.
Substantial new tweet that I made.
Yeah. No,
like, some fact was omitted in the
don't,
last.
Don't worry, Damiani. The rules will change
Wait,
next
are
week.
Damiani, here's where it stands right now, Damiani. Yeah. Cyberpunk 2070. Mario Maker 2 graduated. Yeah. It was released and graduated. No longer
Yay.
Number one. Yeah. Cyberpunk 2077, number one. Number two, The Last of Us Part 2. Number three, Doom Eternal. And number four, Madden NFL 20.
All right, so.
What?
Kyle put Madden on as a joke.
What? Oh.
Madden's a wonderful franchise, but.
Hey, it's not a joke, dude.
Kyle wasn't. You were taking it seriously.
And those only four games on the Desire Index right now, right?
Yes. So
you're only adding one game a week.
Yeah, we're
like
adding.
No matter what,
they have to be five is the highest this new game could be?
Yeah. No,
this sucks.
One is the highest.
No, the newest game could be wherever because it's brand new.
And other things would automatically shift.
But we can't move like Last of Us 2 above Cyberpunk.
All right, that's fine.
Unless a new trailer or something else came out, apparently. That's the rule.
I think I got to go with this one. This one's pretty sizzling.
Okay.
I like a sizzler. And I think... Yeah, actually, you know what? We're going with a sizzler. I'm sorry. What is it? Even more sizzling.
Do you know the sizzler? It's not that high quality.
All you can eat, baby.
We used to, when my friend and I were just like new out here in L.A.,
yeah.
You ever got a promotion? You went to Sizzler.
It's like, excuse me?
I don't like this
If you got a new job, you got a gig, it's like, we're going to Sizzler, baby.
Kyle, did you...
Who are you, like Shooter McGavin?
Did you live in Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Like, that's something they would do.
I know.
He's just making the bit.
That's not a bit. That was a real thing.
Okay. Your life is a bit.
We didn't get a lot of new gigs. I think we probably had two Sizzlers in our entire run here in L.A., but hey, not bad.
That's not bad, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. This is suggested by our patron, Stephen Anthony Brown. The game... Marvel's Avengers. Why? It's got the highest reassessment potential. Depending on what is revealed from here out, it could rise to the top, muddle in the middle, or do the unimaginable and unseat Madden NFL 20. Where do we put Marvel's Avengers today?
Just
where it stands.
Yeah, just above Madden.
But yeah, above Madden and everything else.
Yeah, I agree.
Just above Madden.
Sorry.
I agree.
That's so
Jones,
unfair to those others.
I thought at least you would fight for this game.
It had a bad showing. It just did. It just, you know.
Yeah.
I think I still think it's like worth defining the bad showing because I think this was an automatic home run.
My anticipation of Avengers is like belief. You know, like I think it's going to come together. Obviously, there's a whole, you know, treasure chest of characters they haven't revealed yet. I feel like this is a game that they're going to support for a long time. Square Enix, other than this, is doing pretty good. You know, they had a pretty good E3. You know, so it just seems weird that like I just think they got they just handled not only at E3 but just leading up to E3 to wait to E3 to then just drop to literally be like and. Here's Captain America. It's like you had to know people are gonna be like, what? You know, like they're just gonna it's gonna be strange.
I don't think they knew.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You should have known.
Got it. Yeah.
That it was gonna be bizarre. That like people, I think they thought Avengers Day was gonna like rock us, and it didn't. Like we didn't really care.
Yeah.
That people were gonna be like, we were all gonna be like, whoa, is Cap really dead? Like,
yeah, no. You're right. Like, and they're like, oh, what a foolish thing to play that.
Yeah. So for me, there's what happened at E3 and what. I think that game's going to be, and those are two separate things. So I'm excited for that game, but if you know, I don't think it deserves a desiring at this point. So it's also a long time to wait.
They said they're going to clean it up. Obviously, it's not in its final version right now. Does this panel believe that when this game releases, the characters will still look not right? They'll still look something off about them.
Probably, yes. They said they weren't going to adjust the designs.
Right. They said, yeah, we won't change the designs. We'll change like how things look graphically, but we won't change the designs.
Yeah, they'll still clean up. Like, they'll make them, they'll touch them up, but like, I still think their base look is still going to put people off.
Do you think so?
I don't think there's any working around that.
It's not like an immediate shock when we see it and then something we get used to. Do you think it's going to be still something that's like,
As long as the MCU is going on and those characters are in like the popular culture's eye, it's just going to be a thing.
Sure.
Like, this, someone there should have known that. Like, you either need to go for like, are they literally the identical look of their comic book versions? I don't think they are.
No,
that's the thing. They're their own versions.
They're like, as close to their iconic comic book look.
Yeah.
Or they should have just paid whatever needed to get them MC likenesses. And they didn't do either. And it's like, that doesn't work for people nowadays. Sorry.
I kind of agree with that. It's to me, it was like I was never expecting them to look like MCU people. If you get close to it, that's where you're effing up. Basically, like, Tony Stark, no, I'm sorry, he can't have a goatee. You just have to find a different way to do it if you're not going to have RDJ, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, Tony Stark always has a goatee. Right. Comic books, he's got it, but you just have to go in some other direction so it's not that, like, eerily close feeling.
Sure.
And I feel like they've got a little too close.
Or, like what I've been saying, give us a slow transition into what they look like.
Yeah.
Show us what they look like. Don't show us gameplay. Don't have them speak or anything. Don't announce the voice actors. But, like, before E3... kind of roll into it, and it was just this big splash all of a sudden, and it was just shocking.
Should have been huge. It should have been enormous.
Yeah.
So they announced they're going to be at Comic-Con. Do we think we'll see like substantial gameplay, a substantial gameplay moment at Comic-Con?
Yes.
And will it bump up higher on the desire index? Will we desire the game more after Comic-Con?
1, 2, and 3 on the desire index are really hot games. You know, it's like, it's just not...
A game in which I can be an Avenger should be higher than Doom. You know what I mean? Like, it should be.
Why?
Why?
For video games?
Yeah, man.
Kyle,
I could be any Marvel superhero I want, you know?
Good old sassy Tony Stark, or he could be a psychopath blowing demons to hell.
Yeah, it's...
Doom is more revered, I think, in the gaming space, unfortunately.
It is. You're right. Yeah.
For you, Kyle. I mean, yeah.
Sure. I was like, unfortunately. Get out
Unfortunately
of here.
For Kyle.
All right.
Yeah.
I love an easy slot in as much as a hard one. You all knew. Yeah. It's just right above Matt.
Yeah.
Wasn't a sizzler. Spider-Man kind of spoiled us in terms of the quality we expect now from licensed
Batman.
Stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and Arkham, you know, it's they're usually not great.
Feels weird though, because I know I have to believe like I'm working on that game, I'm on that team.
Yeah.
I'm rubbing my hands together knowing everyone's minds are gonna be blown once they see my game. I would be so shocked by their response.
They relied on that too much. They were just like, we're gonna dunk this. Yeah. Well, how can we not dunk this?
It's yes.
Like that. There you go.
I feel like this might just be me and weird about it. I just feel like they should have started smaller with this whole initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, individual superheroes at a time that eventually build to the Avengers like the movies.
Oh, I got
you. So everything meant more. Right. I don't know. Like, it's just probably really nitpicky of me, but I think I'd just be like more excited about that.
Also, it just, like, seems outdated. Like, that's one of those game announcements where it's like, it's a game from 3 years ago. To me, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't announce it a long time ago with, like, the business partnership. But you're right. Probably shouldn't have had a trailer.
The gap in between Infinity War and Endgame, them completely avoiding that was a huge mistake. They should have slipped right in there and been like, hey, you're all hungry for stuff? Here's a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go, okay, well, that looks weird. And then we see Endgame and we forget about it.
Yeah.
And it comes back at E3 and we're like, oh, yeah, that's right, Cap looks weird. But man, this gameplay is interesting. So like all of the they look weird stuff is, we had that conversation, you know?
I got a lot of more juicy suggestions. If we have time at the end of the podcast, we should dip in. But it's time for corrections. Begin corrections music, please. Fire Emblem Awakening does have a time skip, but it's only like 2 years. The children come from the future into the past to help you fight wars.
Excuse me?
The children? The children, so it's like you're having a conversation with another character.
It's like Dragon Ball Z, dude, like, Trunks style. Yeah.
Like you're feeling some connection there, and then suddenly a child arrives from the future. Yeah. It's like, hey, mom and dad.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah. But it's like, we didn't do a thing. What is this?
Hey, that's what happened to me.
It's so funny because their set characters are coming back, but it's like you get to determine who are the parents of that child. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They come back no matter what, but who's the parent? Who's
crazy.
Who's the dad?
I kind of like that part of Fire Emblem Awakening. It's just like the matchmaking. That's like that was
sure. I thought that was a big part of it.
Yeah, just like you two must love each other now. It's terrible. And correction music, please.
All right.
More debate still about like the Nook children, but I don't want to get into it.
Oh, I want to get into it. What do you got?
Like Timmy and Tommy, we don't know what they are. We don't know if they were strangers and then Tom Nook adopted them or if they're just like students. We don't know if they're his children.
I don't remember their personalities. How are they?
They're just little children who are into it. They're also into the Nook business.
They're Nooks.
They're learning.
There's something about that Nintendo lore. You know, like Peach and Bowser. It's so good.
Yes.
It's so good. Because you know it's never going to be resolved
Write
ever.
Write this down, Kyle. So we get the chance to interview them one day, we will absolutely ask this. First question.
Okay.
I get the vibe that they're like Huey, Dewey, and Louie from like DuckTales. Nephews of someone, like Donald's nephews.
I saw nephews suggested, but not confirmed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's confirmed now. Suggested? Confirmed.
Nephews is fun. It's safe.
Uncle Scrooge.
Sure. She showed the mom in the new DuckTales show?
No, I've only seen one episode.
Yeah, man. It was like getting headlines.
Ooh.
It's like that you see the mom of those children.
Mm, that's weird.
That's nice.
Because it's a video game podcast, you may also like to know that the mom sang to the tune of the NES DuckTales Moon theme.
Yeah.
They came up with lyrics for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Little nod.
It's a huge nod.
That's a nod.
Because it was like a whole musical moment. Dude. That's cool. It's like pretty sick. So, Joe, you saw it.
Oh, it's a lullaby,
I have not watched an episode. I really need to get caught up on that. But I saw that on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently a good show.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some news. Yucky news this week. We got like just a little swamp of
sludge news.
Just like we got a water slide and we're like really pumped and then just like goes straight into a swamp. Okay. So, Shenmue 3, we learned during E3 that it was switching to Epic Games Store, and that people who had backed it as a Kickstarter, very famous, maybe one of the most popular, well-funded Kickstarters of all time, anybody who had backed it is no longer getting a Steam code, but an Epic Games Store code instead. And at the time, it was like I was on E3 hype, you know what I mean? E3 fumes were still in my lungs, and like I was just like, yeah, okay, moving on. You know what I mean? This week, it's kind of a bigger story, so I think there's more to talk about here. This week, the developers announced that... by the way, how do you pronounce it? I think it's like YS, right?
Is it like Yeez, like Yeez. The Sega?
Yeah.
Yeez.
Oh, okay. Yeez. Thank you, everyone. They announced that, hey, by the way, this game's coming out August 27th. It's coming out very soon. This was like a very last-minute swapperoo. You can't have refunds. So they give you four options. Okay? Here are your four options. PC, physical.
Didn't it get delayed?
Out of August?
Yeah. I thought it was delayed till like November or something, right?
Oh, dude, maybe.
Because that was the original release date, right?
Got it.
And it
all
got delayed?
Ian, if you would look up the most current release date, I'd appreciate that.
Of what?
Shenmue.
Shenmue 3. So here are the four options, right?
You got
PC physical, PC digital. By the way, we'll talk about PC physical. It's not even. Okay. PS4 physical, PS4 digital.
Okay.
There's a secret fifth option.
Whoa.
You can ask for Steam key. Yeah, the immediate Google search says August 27th, which is what I was going by, but like maybe that's not updated or something. The secret fifth option is to ask for a Steam key. You'll get it a year later. That is when you'll get it a year later because that's when the Epic Games Store exclusivity ends. There's a secret sixth option, and that is to request your refund.
Oh.
And by the way, like refund is like limited in some sense. Like if they already gave you some of your rewards, you can't get a full refund. So it's not clear exactly. Okay, thank you, Brad. He's got it. He's on it. Shenmue 3 was delayed till November what?
Well, keep talking.
November 19th.
Cool. Brad?
Ease is apparently ease.
Ease.
Yeah.
Ease. Okay. So that's what somebody who previously ordered the PC version has on their plate. By the way, if I was looking forward to my physical PC copy...
Please tell me it's just a digital code.
It is almost worse than that, Brad. I am getting a game case that says PC on it. I open that case. There is a disc in there.
Oh.
I put that in. That's just the Epic Game Store launcher.
No
way! There's also a code from which I'll have to use to download. So the game is not on that disc.
Oh, man.
And didn't Metal Gear 5 do that?
I mean, I don't know.
Steam?
That is so nuts to me.
I feel like I've seen PC games with boxes that are just codes in it.
I do think it happens. It happens with PS4 and Xbox One games.
The disc is the launcher.
That's too nuts. That is crazy. Yeah, so it's like, well, we put a disc in there. It's like, I can download that Game Store launcher right now, man.
That sucks.
Yeah, so that's what's being offered. Refunds, obviously, though nobody has a refund yet because the details on those refunds aren't too clear. Yeah. Just a weird thing to talk about. I guess where I want to launch from, panel. Is
pun intended?
Yeah, because the launcher, the Epic launcher.
Oh, pun not intended. Hate puns. So I have a feeling this is like a Kickstarter that just got like too successful almost. Like I try to understand what's going on at ease, right? It's like they just got a better offer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they promised one thing, but they got a lot of money for doing another thing.
Yes.
And they're saying, we're willing to take the hit pissing off our fan base for the amount of money we're going to get. That's what happened.
Yep. And I don't know if it was their call or Deep Silver's call, but Deep Silver hasn't been talking too much. Deep Silver is publishing the game. And so this kind of thing happens when you're like, hey, we're just a Kickstarter. We just need a little bit of money to make our game. And then like when a publisher gets involved, it's like, okay, you got to sell this many copies, baby. We need bucks back, baby. And like you want that because the publisher is going to make you more money in the end. But now you're working for somebody. And then when Epic Games Store gets involved and say, hey, we're going to offer you a better cut, baby. You're going to get better than 30%, baby. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we are still a little game company. We still do need money. And so all these things happen. Panel, what do you do? What do you do in their shoes? What do you do when your game, your Kickstarter, blows up too much?
Are we talking about Shenmue right now?
Yeah, I'm talking about, if you're a Shenmue. If you're them, like, it's too late. They've made their call. What do you do in the going forward?
It sounds like they made a lot of these plans way after the Kickstarter was done. Like, they had their money. They were locked in at that point, but then they made additional changes. And they knew that would, like, quite frankly, they knew this was going to upset people probably.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just like, it's worth it for us kind of thing. Like, I don't know what the statistics is of people, like, how much it'll actually affect them.
Mm-hmm.
I know people will be pissed off, but to them, I don't know if it really matters as much.
I think they're about to get a lot of refunds.
We'll see.
Oh, by the way, one thing to add to this before we delve in even deeper is that Epic has promised that they're actually paying for the refunds.
Oh, really?
Isn't that insane?
That is crazy.
Yeah, so anyone who refunds the game through that Kickstarter...
So Epic's like got their back hard on this, I suppose.
They got their back hard. Yeah, they're losing money on this whole ordeal.
Jeez.
Just to slowly become the good guy. What?
Well, I think like... I talked to someone else who's a indie developer where something like this kind of happened, and like,
oh cool,
Epic came in and offered them money, and like, the situation they were in was like, we were running out of money, the game was gonna suck unless we took this deal, and so we took this deal. Like, I think people are quick to say like, oh, they're greedy, they want more money. It's like, well, or the game just is like in a bad spot and needs money.
And Shenmue, to me, feels like a game where if you get more capital, you can invest that directly into more features, more characters, more something. You know, like, I bet there's a whole list of we just had to cut development right there, and then, oh, okay, we can move that goalpost a little bit and maybe include a couple more things.
Why aren't they being transparent about that? Why?
That's the other thing is...
You said, like, Deep Silver is being really quiet about this, and it sounds like Ease hasn't said anything about... why they're doing this.
Why they're doing the refunds?
Well, no. Why they're getting the Epic, while they're doing exclusive and getting more money, like a better cut, like more money. Like Ian's argument.
Yeah.
If that was the case, why wouldn't they come out and just say that? This is why we are doing the following.
Yeah.
You were all really great to us. All of you supporters and backers were great for us for Kickstarter. We've run into we've been very transparent with you about delays and trying to make this game good. But, like, these delays and pushbacks, like, if this is the case, it has cost us too much money. We are running out of funds. In comes, you know, Epic. They propose the stuff. We now have a new injection of money. We can finish the game to the quality that you want. It would not have been possible. Like, some things might have had to have been cut, or quality might have been compromised, and certain things. Like, why did they come out and say this? I'm not saying this and being transparent, because this is, like, a feel-good story. And, like, anything that, like, oh, we're doing everything possible to make this good... this, like, kind of secrecy, them not talking about it, makes me think, we just, like you said, Kyle, we just want more money, and, like, we're capitalizing on this big thing that, like, fans paid for it and stuff, and now we're gonna, like, get a little bit extra money as well, and you know what? They've already bought in, so whatever, and if Epic's gonna get our back for funding them, we're not losing any money. We're, like, they're just, like, we're laughing our way to the bank at this point. It's like, that's, like, evil.
But so like think of Ian's friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that person doesn't want to be public because it's not a good look. It's not a good thing to say like, hey, we're running out of money. Epic came and saved us. There's like some things you can't say, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're massaging this message as best they can.
Right.
They're not like, hey, we just did it for fun. We just switched to Epic for fun for kicks. Obviously, we know that they needed more money. Damiani, I think maybe because you're a Kickstarter, you should be more transparent. There is a higher expectancy of that. I totally get that.
Or just don't complain. You know, if your sales take a hit, if a bunch of people turn in refunds, you know, like never, ever, ever say, hey, we wish you hadn't have done that.
I don't think
you should commit to it. It's like, never cross that line because you made this happen. Like, you were the one that that changed course and frustrated your fan base.
I mean, what sucks is at the cost of those people who pledged certain amount of dollars for a PC version forever ago, I believe at the end of the day, they're still going to make more money than they would have if they stuck with Steam.
Probably.
Sure.
And like that's which is what sucks. Is like at the cost of those people who were supporting them years ago, they're going to make more money with Epic.
I mean, to me, Kickstarter, you always got to be careful about that kind of stuff.
Fair enough.
To
me. Like, that's what you agree upon when you're sending money over.
But it does suck. It's a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a legit question.
Sure.
At the risk of maybe upsetting people, but I don't care. Why do people give such a fuck about if something's on Steam or Epic? Like, to me, it's like you literally click a different button. If it's not a multiplayer game, what's the difference?
We went over this once before.
Damiani's got it. He's locked and loaded.
Because, like, it's such a non-issue to me.
It's
not about platform loyalty. The whole point, the history of PC gaming has been about having all the options. It's about being open. It's supposed to be that you aren't locked out in a closed ecosystem like what consoles do to you. So PC, it shouldn't matter what platform you can pay it on, but getting third-party games to be exclusive to PC storefronts kind of goes in the face of the quote-unquote the gentleman's agreement of the PC gaming the storefronts that have been there that you get a game on PC, you can like play it however you want. Like it started with DRM when it came in first. People were like, okay, like this is crap. Like why jailbreak this stuff, like bypass it. That's why so many people don't give a shit when you defeat those de novo and stuff. Like haha, that's like good, de novo's bad. Like that's like the whole mantra of that. So this new thing, this like storefront exclusivity, it flies in the face of that as well. And there are just a lot of like purists who will basically say this is not what the PC ecosystem was about. You are like tainting it, you're exploiting it, and this is not how it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's two different stories of like something like Borderlands, or again, I'm not drilling in on the specifics here, of like a game is announced and then don't really know what platforms are coming to. We just got one or two trailers and then they announce it's coming to Epic Game Store. And for people that are not super hot in Epic Game Store, that sucks. It's another thing when like money has already changed hands. Like you showed me a thing, I paid for that thing, and then later you're just like, oh, by the way, sneaky, we're changing that. And it's like, well, I already gave you money. Then I could see that being frustrating.
I do think it's that. So if the Kickstarter somehow, if it was for an Epic Game Store game, I bet there would be people who would give them money and would not be upset today, right? If they were, if they had the foresight to say, hey, we don't even know what store it's going to launch on. You know what I mean? But people paid for a Steam version.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the switcheroo, Ian, that gets people upset.
I see that. I can understand that. Yeah, I mean, like, but Epic Game Store didn't exist when Shenmue was kickstarting.
Right, and Steam seemed obvious.
Right. I mean, I guess it's on Kickstarter people to just never say a platform anymore.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, I don't know, it's capitalism.
Steam's only exclusives are Valve
first-party games.
But even, Greenlight games and stuff like that, I guess they can be on whatever.
They can be. I think their exclusives are mostly just, hey, this is the only platform we can launch on.
Gotcha.
Right now.
Gotcha.
Itch.io and stuff.
I mean, it makes sense for Valve games and stuff. I gotcha.
Yeah. And I think also it's like still the Epic Game Store is lagging behind Steam in a lot of ways.
Yes.
It's not equivalent.
Does it have cloud saves?
I think it still does not have cloud saves.
Because that's annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still missing a bunch of features. And we know that Epic is making people cram on those features. We know that those people are being overworked to put those features together. And so, it's weird. It is It's a little slouch.
I think the other thing that contributes to it is, like, there's no doubt in my mind that the Epic Games Store is, like, an affront to Valve. It's not one thing where it's like, we want to give people options and create our own store. They're very much like, screw you, Valve. That seems like kind of the whole attitude around everything. Yes. Like, every exclusive is not, like, just very much seems like, ha, 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 ha. You know, like, you know, we have this franchise now. We made this deal now. Yeah. And so... If Epic Games Store was like, hey, what's the beef? It's like, well, you get this whole attitude that you've had presenting, you know, which in some ways is good for the consumer. Again, the developers are making more money. Like, there's some things that are positive when framed, you know, in different ways from different perspectives.
That's kind of my thing is like, I mean, this is capitalism, like late stage capitalism. Like, these companies, none of these companies are out here trying to do anybody any favors, right? Yeah. And that should not be expected. And it's like, competition is better. Like, the market is going to get stronger because Steam's not the only dog in the race anymore, you know?
Yeah,
that's
true. I don't understand why Steam has, like, goodwill at all.
I mean, that's another thing. I mean, I don't think people, when Steam first came around, it wasn't like people were, oh, yay, Steam and stuff. You know, obviously, you know, they were probably Valve fans.
Didn't, like, launch with Half-Life and it was sort of borked?
I think you had to play it on Steam, too.
Sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
It had some rough years.
Yeah.
But, like,
here we are, like 15, 20 years later.
That's the whole thing. Like, PC gaming. You just want, like, I just want to buy the game, have a standalone executable, just click the icon and play it. Why do I need to launch a storefront and stuff? You know, this all came about, like, this has been years in the making.
When Steam was
new.
Like,
but to, like, the Ian's argument, like, there shouldn't even be, technically, there shouldn't, like, in the ideal one, there would be no storefronts. You just go buy your game from the store.
Amen to that.
Yeah, but, like,
and then as an icon on my desktop, I actually prefer to have Steam.
But that's why it happened. Like Rise of Digital, like, well, where do you buy it digitally then? Like, do you go to a store and buy a code now? Where do you download that from? Do, like, those individual companies have to set their own storefronts? Like, it was just a natural evolution of where we went with, like, technology. Well, they were naturally always going to come about.
You can launch other games that you didn't buy in Steam through Steam.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, I'm surprised, maybe there is one, like open source, like, kind of, like, not storefronts, but, like, organizers, like, they're definitely those that have to be those. That beforehand.
Instead of like
I don't want icons. Like, here's, like, a little, like, nice app or program that runs. Here are all your PC games and stuff. Like, you
remember
know.
Those for MP3 players?
Yeah,
like the weird skins that you could have for an MP3
Winamp
player.
And stuff?
Yeah,
Winamp.
Those were so cool.
Yeah, those were crazy.
This has been so long, I forget what those were, if they even are still around. But
they're around, baby.
Now we have storefronts, and yes, like, having competition is good. I think it is partially the tenacity in which Epic is going after third-party exclusives.
Unapologetic tenacity, dude.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and they've been upfront about it. They're, like, not hiding it, at least. Like, this is what we're doing. They said recently, this is the only way we can take on...
Exclusives.
Steam, is to go after this.
Yeah.
And, I don't think they're doing it out of, like, the goodness of their heart. They're not trying to.
Oh, no, it's business.
Yeah, it's purely business stuff, especially
with their
background.
The Shenmue thing couldn't be messier. I mean, it's so clearly not... They, you know, Shenmue didn't mean to do this. Mm-hmm. Epic doesn't necessarily have all the solutions for how it's going to work.
I don't think Epic's at fault in this specific instance here.
They offered the money,
All the evidence you've given me, I feel like the party that needs to do something to make this right the most is Deep Silver. They've been quiet. I think they were, like, everything you've told me, they were probably the ones who negotiated the deal and stuff.
I wonder.
I would, if I had to stake it, I would stake it on them and... all the evidence points to it's them. They're the ones who did it. And the fact they're not saying anything makes, as what Brad said, they did the cost analysis benefit. They're like, okay, we went this way and say we're going to make this much. But even with the amount of complaints and refunds we're going to get, the better percentage we're getting from Epic, we're going to make more money here.
Yeah.
Let's go with this option right here and let's just shut up.
Like, it reminds me of Modern Warfare 2 when they said it's, like, not going to have dedicated servers. And I knew a ton of people were like blacklisting it or whatever, like, I'm not going to buy it. And there's, like, that really famous screenshot of, like, the anti-Modern Warfare 2 Steam group, and, like, over half the people are playing it.
Yeah.
It's just like, how many people are going to put their money where their mouth is?
That's a JPEG, man.
Well, it's just funny. Like, it's funny to me because, I mean, it seems like a funny thing to be, like, mad about, you know, just in general for me. But, like, in a situation like Shenmue or other indie titles where it's not, like, hey, if you want to be mad at, like, Assassin's Creed or whatever, sure, because it's, like, who cares? But, like, you, Suzuki, and those guys are the ones that are going to get punished because you're pissed that it's on Epic. And it's, like, I feel bad for the developer that, like, their publisher is making these gnarly decisions that it's, like, pissing people off. And it's, like, everyone's going to boycott the game and get refunds and stuff. And it's, like, well, okay, but you love Shenmue, like the developer is going to get punished for that too, and it may not have even been their choice.
Yeah, as Jones, like, could it, such a, like his dream is coming true.
Right,
he got the funding to make this game that he could not get funding for 15 years, and it's like,
you know what? Now we know who the real bad guy is in this whole story.
Who?
Sega.
It's Sega.
Sega not believing in this, not making this happen.
Right, 20 years, right?
Yeah, like come on.
Hey, almost. Sega's doing a turnaround, baby. Phantasy Star.
They are now.
Let's get hyped.
They had their chance.
Right? Yeah. Exclusively to the Epic Games.
Exclusive. The next story, like when I was putting the podcast together, I was looking at this Mordhau stuff, and it's just like riled me up too much.
Is this the?
We're not even Damiani. We're not covering it. Hey, Google it if you just want to feel mad. Just Google Mordhau. Look at the PC Gamer article. Instead of like getting into more negativity on the podcast, we have Jones here.
Yay!
I figure why not do a segment called "Let's Just Talk to Jones."
You opened my pit with Mordhau.
Yeah, because that's the truth, Jones. I was like, I was sitting at the desk typing on the
laptop. What do you want, Mordhau or Jones?
And I like closed my eyes. I'm like, what can I do on the podcast? And I'm like, you know what? Jones is going to be gone for a while. This is the last chance we got for you for a while, right?
Maybe. I'm going to try to do the next podcast and maybe the one after that.
Oh, okay, cool.
But then I'll be gone for about a month or so.
Yeah, and so people, you know, they hear your voice every week.
Yeah.
But they might not necessarily know what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
So what's happening, Jones?
Playing lots of Mordhau, you know. Mm-hmm. getting deep in those forums, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I, on, oh boy, it was Friday, was on June 19th, man and I took a leisurely trip to a hospital, and then on June 21st, at 5:44 p.m., we gave birth to our son, Milo Troop Jones.
Be honest with me, was that a leisurely trip?
No, that was tense.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine it was not a good trip,
that was
dude.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Well, it was weird because we've been doing lots of, reading, you know, all sorts of crazy books and some like funny books, some like books about reading a really interesting book now about just like the science of brain development. And it's fascinating. And didn't get to that part where they say that like actually at 32 weeks of being pregnant, your baby's probably gonna be okay. Like if it's born, like the odds are good. Like if this was the, you know, 1800s, not good.
Mm-hmm.
But now like, you know, medical science has caught up. And so, you know, ever since this happened, I've been getting lots of reports from people who's like, hey, my, you know, my kid was 8 weeks early, 9 weeks early, especially even in the NICU at the hospital, the neonatal, I said the neuronatal on Cubba Jones.
How but, embarrassing.
I know. Yeah.
Jeez.
Still trying to recover from that. But just heard lots of stories where they were like, hey, I was super early and I'm, you know, in my 30s now and that turned out okay. So, and thank you to everybody also that's been giving me well wishes. But it was crazy. Like when, like the first, one of the first things when I went in the next day to check in on him when we like came back to the, where I was, we were in the, upstairs in the hospital and then went down to the NICU. And I came in like, hey, how's he doing? And the guy just looked at the isolette and was like, well, it's fine. I'm like, oh, all right.
Does it,
not expecting that.
So, I mean, you had plenty of time to prepare to be a father, but you had this expectancy that it was going to be August. You're like, okay, I'm going to be a
dad.
Yeah,
maybe July. Maybe I was 2 weeks early. So I was like, yeah, I could, you know, he could sneak in the end of July. But like July 1st is when we're really going to start building furniture, clearing stuff out. Mm-hmm. You know, like Amanda had two baby showers, one from her friends were planning, one that my parents and her parents were planning.
Oh, in July?
He skipped both of those.
Yeah.
Out ahead.
Okay.
And so, like, we got like an email from somebody who was like, cool, looking forward to whenever you reschedule the shower. And it's like, no, we're not.
Yeah, it's too late.
It's over. Yeah, like, hit up that registry.
If you're going to send us anything, bring it.
Does it feel weird to be a sudden father, though? Were you ready?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we were emotionally prepared. It was just, it really was up until the actual birth. Because once we were in the hospital, then it was a question of like, because it was this double-edged sword where like, I want him to come early so then Amanda's not stuck in the hospital for 4 weeks. I mean, imagine that. Maybe just literally sitting at the bed rest for 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, pumped full of all sorts of weird stuff, getting your blood drawn all the time, you know, and like looking out the window. We finally moved us into a room that had a window. We're like, yeah, and they're doing construction outside right next to the freeway. Like, great. And but at the same time, that's kind of spooky that he would go out and have to be in the NICU and we don't know what condition he's going to come out in. But at the same time, if he waits a long time, you know, or if he comes out early, that's better for Amanda, but then not great for him. And so he made that decision for us. And hello,
Jones, I have to say you sent a Slack message that like updated us on like how what everything is like. You were very open with us about what was happening. You said at one point there's a 90-ish% that things are going to be OK. So I'm feeling good. And it's like, Jones, like, you know how many times I missed a thunderbolt, dude? Like, how can you feel positive about a 90-ish percent? That was the craziest thing to me, but you were so positive throughout this whole thing.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's just, I imagine people talk about like their life flashing before your eyes. You know, yeah. if you're like on the freeway and you look and there's a Mack truck just piling toward you. Like, I imagine there's at some point where you're like, well, here we go. You kind of realize you just give up. You're like, nature's kind of taken over right now. There's not really anything I can do.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of run out of, once your brain kind of cycles through all the possible options, you're like, well, we'll just see what happens. You know, you're like a spectator almost. Like, you know, I'm really not a part of this. It's really concerning. It's really Amanda and Milo that are making the big decisions here.
That state of mind,
and
man,
we will just
incredible.
See what happens. So it's really up until like the, you know, once like the, you know, the green light hit and they were like, oh, this is happening now. He's going to be born today. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I'm in like the delivery room. We're standing there and I'm just suddenly realizing like, oh, I guess I'm wearing this. You know, like, I guess this
what are
is,
you wearing?
I guess this is the T-shirt I'm wearing.
What, do you remember what T-shirt you're wearing?
It's this cool shirt that's, yeah, it's like a space cowboy shirt. So it's like a star setting. And then there's like a cowboy like on Mars just riding around, a little silhouette of him. And it's like looking at my clock like June 21st. I guess that's the day. A day after one of my best friend's birthdays and 3 days before another best friend's birthday. So
it's a good
like,
sign of birthday, to be honest with you.
Born on the solstice. First day of the summer.
Jones, you're a very public person. Do you think it's weird that when Milo is able to look at videos on the internet, he will have access to thousands of hours of his father talking?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Talking about him.
Yeah. Even, you know, yeah, like right now, right?
Crisp video. I mean, who knows what, you know, how good video is going to be, you know, when he's like my age.
Oh, this will look bad.
Just,
yeah, this will look horrible. You're right. Yeah.
I think of like Elijah Wood, like, you have to use your hands.
Like, I can't smell this. What is this?
But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I think about that all the time. Because I literally, like, from my birth, I have, like, one picture super far away in the hospital room.
Mm-hmm.
Really crappy color of, like, both my parents. It was, like, exhausted.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, I go through my photo. Not only are we taking amazing pictures, but, like, our photo stream is shared between our two phones. So anything she takes, I see within, like, 10 minutes. It's just, like, technology, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
And I wonder if, like, he'll even care. You know what I mean? Like, I think, like, all right, let's say my dad was on a podcast weekly, right, 20 years ago. Would I listen? I'd probably listen to the episode where he talks about me for sure, but I'm like, would I listen to him talk about how mad he is about Animal Crossing? Like, no.
Maybe not when they're younger, but yeah. I feel like when they get older, perhaps.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Are you going to swear less?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big swear now. I can moderate that depending on the circumstances.
Not a big on camera swear.
Not a big on camera swear.
Yes. Different story off camera.
Off camera, you're gonna swear less.
We'll see. I don't know. Okay. I did one. I think I was almost about to do one, like in his presence. Like, I was holding him and talking to Amanda.
You were like aware.
And I almost said something. It was like, you know, because again, you're reading these psychology books, and they're like, you'd be surprised what that kid picks up on. Like, obviously, doesn't know English, but like, mm-hmm. definitely picks up on attitudes and vibes. And if you're arguing in front of your baby, like it'll get stressed out, and then that'll affect the baby's development. So it's just like, okay, try not to be stressed.
I'm very conscious of it. I like that.
But cool. I was practicing non-stress stuff, you know, even before this happened. Mm-hmm. So it's good to like, all right.
Yeah.
Put my money where my mouth is.
I mean, how are you not stressed on these days before your baby can even come home? What is a day like for you?
So the big thing is we got to get up just to see him. And we were happy where all of this happened because it was near Amanda's doctor. But it is a bit of a drive. And we're in L.A. So, like, you kind of got to time out, like, what's in that direction on that freeway. What's the best time to be going and leaving? But it's just, yeah, it's strange. It's like, you know, I was a little disappointed right away because there wasn't this just like immediate like, oh, it's my child, because there's tubes and doctors and everybody, you know, so you don't really get like that connection. Even when like I get time with them, that's like, it's like plugging in a new console where they're just like, okay, careful for these 18 wires and here he is. And they're like, yeah, thanks, you know, like. So yeah, you kind of bounce back and forth between being like extremely connected to him and then just like, all right, got to get back on the freeway. See you tomorrow, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You just roll with it, you know? It's just, it's kind of like, it seems like a really weird comparison, but like we just got done with E3. It's like, or when we used to do Keeley's coverage back in the day, like, you know, All Access, you do as much rehearsal as you can. And then once that camera turns on, you go live. It's like, this is now what it is. And we just kind of got to roll with it. So this job has trained me for this. Certainly the lack of sleep part.
I'm pretty impressed, Jones. Yeah.
Thanks.
I know myself I would be a nervous wreck constantly.
And this is nice because we haven't really talked about this. I was I showed up and, you know, the guys were walking around before the podcast and I'm just like, oh, I haven't, you know, I got a ton of stories. Just a lot of crazy stuff.
You showed up live last week and then like had to go and I'm like, Jones, how you been?
Right.
Yeah.
So But and that, you know, I know some people tune in the podcast. They see that time code and they're like, all right, what's the next time code? But all right, let's skip the baby talk.
Oh,
baby talk's good talk.
Yeah,
it's good vibes, man.
It's, yeah, yeah, it's been wild, and certainly like I can't wait to find out because a lot of people say they're like, oh, is he gonna be a Star Wars fan? Oh, you gonna like video games? And I'm like, I can't wait to find out what he likes. It's even just watching my, you know, my god kids grow up. Every time I see them, it's like, all right, what's the show? What are we watching?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fun to like, you know. And when do those trends change? It's like, oh, not into Power Rangers anymore. Okay.
Honestly,
that lasted 2 years. Interesting.
Like, Jones, the way that, like, everything is progressing digitally, I'm just scared that, like, 10-year-olds just love pornography. You know what I mean? Like, do you like Power Rangers? And they're like, no, dude. Like,
and here I was worried that I had said the most incendiary thing on this episode.
Yeah, I know.
They're just
that's the other thing, too.
That's what I'm most scared of,
the fatigue is so intense. The stress can be so high that, like, yeah, Amanda and I will say some things to each other. We're just like, don't tell anybody.
Sure.
You just got to get that off of your chest.
Right.
Really, really, you know, dark, creepy stuff. But you'd be surprised where your mind wanders off to.
I think that's like a strong relationship thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you don't, like, you can just do jokes. Yeah.
And I cannot, I've actually done this, I'm a little disappointed when I talked about this in the past. When I came in, we did the monologues. Like, I didn't mention Amanda at all, and she's been amazing. She actually, like, just absolute business pro, you know, gave birth on Friday. Following Friday, she's in the booth doing a job.
Damn.
No way. You know? She's still booking?
Still booking.
Nice.
Can't drive. They said 2 weeks you can't drive because it, you know, involves the core, like around the waist, all those muscles. And like that stuff still healing and progressing. But it was a really good gig. And she's like, I'd hate to give this gig up. I'd like to go do it. So
nice.
Hopefully we'll be able to talk about that job someday. So, it was a good one.
We're so exciting. It's like maybe something related to the kinds of things we talk about on this podcast?
Maybe.
Ooh. Okay. Very, very cool.
But yeah, definitely shout out to Amanda. She's been absolutely incredible.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Jones? And thank and shout out to the allies too for.
We didn't do a thing.
Yeah.
You did. Oh, come on.
Things are carrying on.
Even just getting here and seeing all of you guys walking up the stairs with like bottles of water, I was like, I was just thinking I needed to do that. But you know, like the fact that we all have weird jobs that we've kind of designed ourselves. Like I have these weird areas of expertise, so I'll just handle this and try to figure this stuff out. And this has been a wild summer, you know, of all, you know, lots of emotional ups and downs, you know, for all of us. And so the idea that, you know, one of us can step aside and the other person can fill in. I think when we were at Game Trailers, you know, we're owned by Viacom or Defy Media, it's kind of like on them to do that. But when we have the equal partnership that we have,
yeah,
it's like, you know, it seems like, you know, something, you know, easily that I would do. But when you're on the other end and you actually see those messages in Slack of like, take all the time you need, we're here for you. It's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't take that stuff for granted. It's a big, big deal.
For sure, dude.
And I'm going to milk that. It's going to be like mid-September.
Do you hear
you're
that?
Like, hey, Jones, what?
Oh, okay. Sounds like it's podcast. Right. Yeah. Half time.
Oh, boy.
Dirty.
The following are the official sponsors of Easy Allies for the month of July. Hoag Law Business Law Firm. Whether you're starting a business at level 1, stuck fighting the dreaded fundraising boss, or finally cashing out with a well-earned high score, you need a good business lawyer at your side, or at least that good business lawyer's YouTube and podcast series, Virtual Legality. Check it all out at youtube.com/HOEG Law or on your favorite podcast service. Uniqlo is a Japanese fashion brand aiming to change the world through the power of clothing. With a focus on high quality and innovative textiles, Uniqlo is redefining everyday clothing by increasing the functionality of your wardrobe at an affordable price. They call it life wear made for all. Visit uniqlo.com/EZA to check out their collections, including new and upcoming graphic t-shirt collaborations with Nintendo, Star Wars, Street Fighter, Monster Hunter, and many more. That's uniqlo.com/EZA. Car Keys Express. If you need a replacement car key or a remote, check out carkeysexpress.com/store. Use the coupon code EZA at checkout for free shipping and 10% off of your order. They are proud sponsors of Easy Allies. L. Fannis. Our gifted sponsor this month is the Able Gamers Foundation, a nonprofit charity that aims to improve the overall quality of life for those with disabilities through the power of video games, creating opportunities that enable play in order to combat social isolation, foster inclusive communities, and improve the quality of life for people with disabilities. The link to donate is in the description. And our mega sponsor, ViewSonic. To be the, ViewSonic aims to be the preferred global brand of visual solution products. ViewSonic is dedicated to meeting the needs of their customers, generating profitable growth through efficient operations. They meet their customers' expectations with superior products, customer service, and industry knowledge. ViewSonic gaming monitors are engineered to deliver best-in-class features for all types of gamers. All of these links are available in the description. Thank you to our sponsors.
Thank you, sponsors.
A lot of games released the last few weeks. It's really hard for anybody to determine, like, what should I be playing? How do I pick one game? And that is why we introduce The Gaming Game. This is where, Ian Hink, you will be presented with three potential games to play.
Man, I forgot about this.
Yep. You got to ask them questions. You get to ask them questions for a few rounds. Once you feel like you have a good sense of which game is which, you will choose one to play, but also guess who is each game. Panelists, please take a peek at the paper in front of you. You will be representing this game to Ian. You want Ian to play you, so you got to represent yourself the best way possible, but be honest. Be honest about yourself. Okay. Ian, you feel ready?
Sure. We're going to wing it.
Okay. That's the whole point. Let's wing it.
Okay. Game number one.
That's
which,
Jones.
Which would be you, Jonesy.
Yep.
Are you a good kisser?
I've had a rough life. I'm not into kissing right now.
Oh, Ian, I do have to tell you, I thought Mario Maker 2 would be too easy, so I took that one out.
Okay.
Nobody's going to be Mario Maker 2.
Got it.
Because we know that's your main
that's
squeeze.
Safe, that's safe.
Love that.
He's already dating
love
Mario Maker 2. Yeah. He really shouldn't be doing this, but we're not going to talk about
looking
that.
Looking for a side game.
Yeah.
Game number two.
Mm-hmm.
I like romantic long walks. Do you like to go on long walks?
Yes, there's lots of long walking, perhaps running in my game.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Game number three. You know, I appreciate a nice gift, but I'm into like cutesy stuff. Mm-hmm. Are you cutesy, do you think?
Definitely very cute, and I can be cute in so many different ways. I can be cute in the way you want me to.
No! No!
That's how you play it.
That was too good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you play the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hot in here.
Game number one.
Yeah.
I grew up religious, and I am afraid of demonic retribution. Would I get to exorcise any demons with you on a date, perhaps?
No. I am a seeker of justice, I don't dabble in any of that stuff.
Okay. Game number two.
Mm-hmm.
I like to read a lot, and I don't really like too many voices in my head. You know what I mean?
Sure.
What?
Would I get to read a lot with you?
Very revealing, this episode.
There is reading, but there's definitely more voices than just pure reading.
Okay.
You could do both, though, okay, to an extent.
Game number three. I have a lot. It's been a long time since I've had a dream when I've been asleep. If I'm with you, I don't remember my dreams, basically, when I wake up. I miss them. When I'm with you, would I have a lot of nice dreams?
Oh, got it.
You would have a lot of good dreams here. You would have dreams of adventure. You'd have dreams of walking around very large areas. And you'd have dreams of really big battles.
Oh, my.
Great. Game number one. I like to avenge a lot of crimes. Would I get to do that with you?
Crimes, you say?
Yeah.
Now you're speaking my language.
Oh.
All right.
I'm so bad at this.
That one's probably pretty locked in.
Game number two. long with voice acting. If you were on
the Epic Game Store.
The Epic Game Store. How mad would people be that you're on the Epic Game
That's
Store?
That's a great question.
Probably pretty mad.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jones. I think I may have a guess.
Okay, all right. Question's over. Here we go. So let us know who the two people you're not selecting are and who you think they are.
I think I'm going to date game number three.
Okay. Wow.
My guess for game number one is Avengers.
That game's not out yet.
I thought these were all not out yet games.
No, these games are
out. You can play these right now.
Oh, damn.
Damn.
Well, I was doing it wrong then.
All right, so game number one's about justice. About justice. Cracking down on crime.
About justice.
Is there a...
You
want to ask another question to each person?
Yeah, one more round. One more round.
I have no idea what games just came
out. Get personal. One more round.
I legit have no idea what games came out besides Mario Maker 2, so I'm like not going to get it.
Not all of them just came out. Pretty recently, though.
Yeah, last
Pretty
few weeks.
Recently.
We're talking last few weeks.
No idea.
Okay.
Cool.
Number one, what game are you?
Judgment.
Judgment!
Oh, okay, yeah.
Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Now I get it.
Okay.
Yep.
Ah, yes.
Bloodstain. Ritual of the Night.
Sure, nice. Sure. There is a lot of talking.
Yep.
And wait, do you have no guess for Damiani?
I mean, I thought he was Pokemon. I was doing games that aren't out yet.
Uh-huh. What do you think he is now?
No idea. I thought he was Dreams at first.
Mm-hmm. Because he can be as cute as he wants you to be in as many ways as possible.
What?
Wait till you hear this.
I was Shadowbringers, Ian.
Create your
own character. I was hoping you'd give me an angle to talk about dancing and dancers, but...
I like to go
dancing.
Just
would have thrown him off more. And I happen to know that he's already dating Brad's game. So this is...
Yep.
This is salacious.
Yeah.
So Ian, you get to play Final Fantasy XIV Shadowbringers now.
Great. Good.
I hope you both have a good time. It is now time for Love and Respect.
Love and Respect.
We got a cute question.
Okay.
We got a question that is as cute as I want it to be.
Okay.
I'm a high school teacher and want to connect with students who also play games. However, I don't simply wish to shout out, "Hey, fellow kids, does anyone else video game?" What are some subtle ways to interject more my love for games of old and new? Love and respect, Dr. Greg.
Sorry, did they say what subject they teach?
No. And here's what's actually funny. So I refreshed it just before the podcast to see if any new ones, new love and respects came in. And somebody actually replied to this, another teacher. So check this out. Kex says, "This is so awesome. As a science teacher, I guess it depends on what exact fields you cover, but you might find clever ways to use gaming words or phrases. For instance, if you're teaching them how to add or combine chemical values, you could say it's like crafting. That'll raise some eyebrows for sure. Of course, I'm sure my example is terrible and chemical compositions are not at all like crafting, but you get my meaning, right? I think the gaming world has a very unique dialect, and using any of those words will probably cause some reactions. Just got to be attentive for those smiles." I think we get a lot of teachers. I think EZA has like a disproportionate like teacher audience.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Merchandise? Wondering? You wear a shirt from one of your favorite franchises?
Like a tie. That's just like just that one day. You got that tie.
On the way out the door. And you're just like, "Okay, everybody, see you tomorrow." And somebody's like, "Hey, it's Zelda, man. You're a Zelda fan?" You're like, "Yeah, I am."
Play music in your classroom before they come in. Blasting Doom as they're walking in your classroom.
Brad, that's a legitimately good idea.
Yeah. That would be the sickest teacher of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Get with the times and... when your kids get your questions right, you give them a loot box and have them open it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm
kidding. No, actually, planning subjects, that's why I'm asking what subject they teach, maybe. Mm-hmm. Planning, like, a lesson around, like, a game theme. I don't know how advanced some of the classes, like, get. Like, science might be, like, that was a good science example.
Yeah.
In college, actually, I took courses on how, like, media influences, like, social interaction and, like, that. And one of our professors used, RuneScape or old, like, MMO or whatever from back in the day and, like, made us play it and stuff and asked us questions about, like, okay, like, how did you feel about, like, player interaction, like, stuff like that versus, like, really interacting and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it might be cool to, like, I don't know, like if you're doing like you're doing a science class, like maybe take Mario Maker and be like, all right, we're gonna like, you know, here, like if I want to make this, like, you know, jump over this, you know, and Mario's running at this speed and he got to jump, like how, like just put in iconic like video game phrases or video game imagery into a question on like an exam or something like that, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I
training level in Smash Brothers with the grid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I think actually phrases are good. You just got like the ones that we use conversationally, like OP. You know what I mean? Like Moby Dick is OP. People will get it. It's like, oh, okay, I got it. Like things like that. I try to think of like more gaming phrases that aren't cringy. You know what I mean? Like
DPS.
DPS is funny, dude.
Like do it. Like if you're thinking about math, it's like, okay, your current DPS output is this, and like this boss has this HP, but like you can make it like an algebra question.
How long
question.
Will it take for us to take
like,
on the
that's
boss?
That's simplifying it, but like, yeah, you can make like an algebra question more advanced like that.
Heck
the, remember
yeah,
the old
dude.
Question, like everyone had like the question, like if Billy is on the ground and tosses a ball up to like Chris on the Ferris wheel and it's spinning at this, how hard will you have to throw? It's like, well, okay, if you're doing this much, like six different characters doing this DPS or whatever, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, like. You can do stuff like that, or like materia in Final Fantasy VII. It's like each one has a stat attribute, so mm-hmm. it's like you got to figure out like what combination will work and stuff like that. You know, I don't know.
Should Mr. Greg floss? Excuse me, Dr. Greg. Should Dr. Greg floss?
He should make a bet with his class, and if they collectively get above a certain grade point
that's really
on
good.
An exam, he will do it for them, and they can film it.
You nailed it, Dami.
There you
yeah,
go.
That's the best.
Yeah, making your teachers do like silly, embarrassing things
yes.
is actually
humiliate
super
your teacher.
Fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You could be like a PE teacher and talk to them about like performing heat actions in dodgeball or something like that. That's what that'd be.
That's
what
like
I'm
a deep
about.
Cut. Because like the Fortnite kids are even like, what?
But that's
action?
How you get
you know
like,
what I mean? Like
students like Ben and
yeah.
Huber to be like.
The like, ones at the
brilliant.
Backs of the bleachers yeah. are just like, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah heat action.
But it's good that you brought up Fortnite, though, is that Fortnite's, you know, off limits. Just don't even mention
you
Fortnite.
You think so?
Because that seems like the most obvious. Where are these kids playing today? Fortnite?
It does seem
you know,
like
that. Just
yeah.
seems like
it
is. You want to find that deep cut, even if you just hit the one kid in the back that's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. And then they were hanging out later, and it's like, did anybody pick up Mr. Johnson's, like, comment today about, like, Quake? That was weird.
Yeah. Goomba.
Yeah. You Goombas.
How many Goombas could fit in a jar? Yeah. It's like, okay. Dr. Greg, can I go to the bathroom? Cool. Fun question. Good luck to you. Keep us updated. If you get any, like, nods, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that's the best you could get.
A nod of approval.
And if it
yeah.
really goes south, blame Easy Allies.
Yep, please. Let us play a game. So a lot of times when I get games submitted that are like, hey, they played this on this other show or on this other podcast, I'm like, well, I you know, that's their thing. This person found my weakness. They found a thing that is a segment on some other show that I'm like, yeah, I want to play that too. Okay. This mm-hmm. comes from Sagittarius Cornwallis. Hi, allies. My brother was watching The Herd with Colin Cowherd, sports commentator on FS1.
I know sport.
And Colin started to do a segment called Up, Down, or Even. Premise is, how well will certain basketball teams be doing in 1 year? Are they better, worse, or about the same? Hence the title Up, Down, or Even. I thought this could translate well into video game developers. 1 year from now, how will we feel about these studios and their output? Bethesda. Game studios. Up, down, or even?
Up.
I mean, up? Doom will be out, so up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We'll have Wolfenstein, we'll have Doom a year from now, and we won't have, like, more bad ones. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Coming out of Fallout.
I think it's
easy
case
for up. I was going to go with even,
yeah.
but I forgot about Fallout.
Like, when you're at the bottom... Where mm-hmm. they currently are, yes,
and they're like working on Fallout still. So even the people who
it'll
are
be
like
better. Hopefully, yeah. it's like a No Man's Sky situation.
Yeah,
good point.
Game Freak.
Oh, up.
Up.
Yeah.
Even.
I'm abstaining from future like Pokemon criticism. I just had an epiphany. I'm like, I'm not doing it anymore. I could go, Jones.
I could be sold on even.
You think
I don't see it going down though. Yeah, I might.
So, Jones, are you up on the controversy, dude? About how you can't port any old Pokemon that you're putting into your old your little Pokemon farm into this game? Are you up on this?
Yes. Okay. I just think we haven't had the opportunity to really be charmed by the story and the world. And I think a year from now we'll actually be playing that game and, mm-hmm. and thinking of it. I think about Let's Go. I was not expecting to play Let's Go at all. I'm like, I am in fact not going to play this game, mm-hmm. and I did and loved it. So
I wonder if they're down from Let's Go though.
Depending who you talk to.
Yeah.
To me, they're up.
Okay.
Because like I'm not a hardcore Pokemon fan at all.
Sure.
But like they put it on console finally, so I'm like, oh okay. Wow. You got me now.
Okay. Cool to know.
But they'll be the same.
Arkane Studios.
Ooh, Arkane.
So they're working on Wolfenstein.
Oh, they're helping with it, yeah.
Yeah. And they're working on that Deathloop?
Deathloop.
Deathloop.
I think that's an easy up.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I love Dishonored 1 and 2. I adore those games.
Yeah, just a massive delay, I think, would affect that.
Yeah.
Deathloop, we're a year from now. It's like, we still just have that one trailer. That's it.
No, well, then a year I could from see now, we'll even, see like a cool E3 presentation, I bet.
Sure. Okay, yeah, we have to see it like played next year.
Yeah. Platinum.
Platinum.
Platinum will have Astral Chain. It mm-hmm. will have been released, and I bet we'll have seen a Bayonetta 3 trailer with it about to release next fall. I bet that's where we're going to be at next year.
Still be probably even.
I go even. Yeah.
Even's fair. Yeah, I think Platinum's fair. Platinum. Platinum's high right now, right? Yeah, like Platinum's, you know, high. Top 10 developer.
They're just one of those devs that delivers.
Yeah.
You know, they're known for doing a thing. They do that thing very well. I think even when they bring new IPs or fun sequels, I think it just still kind of maintains status quo.
I hear you. WB Montreal.
Oof. What a wild card.
Yeah. Huge
is that,
wild card.
Batman Origins? Which one is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Who's working on question mark?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even's the safest bet, I think.
Well, no, it can't be even. It's gotta be up or down.
Yeah. It can't be even.
God.
We're gonna know something. There's gonna be something that changes with WB Montreal.
I'm gonna be positive to say up.
I'll go up too. Because I think if people aren't into it, they'll just bail. I don't think they're going to, like, consistently be angry at whatever it is. If they're not interested, they just won't be interested.
You know what? It is a studio. We're not going to be mad at them, I think.
Yeah.
Fair.
Mm. You sold me up.
Always bums me out when they call it the Arkham Trilogy. So it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's such a slight.
Get out of here, Montreal.
Thing.
It's like, there were four of them. Okay. You know?
Oh, you're right. That is kind of
like,
sucky.
They don't call it, like, you know, like Rocksteady's Trilogy. Mm-hmm. They just call it the Arkham Trilogy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, bummer.
Yeah, I thought Origins is all right.
It's great.
This next one's on top. I don't know how they could go higher, but let's see the panel justify it. Capcom. 1 year from now.
1 year?
Yes.
I think we'll start seeing teases of their next-gen projects. Mm-hmm. So, up.
Oh, how could they go up from here, Brad?
Up. Dude.
They just had their best year
ever.
Dude,
that Resident Evil 3 tease, or 8.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon's Dogma 2 tease.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, man.
Street Fighter
6.
Mm-hmm.
Darkstalkers back.
Mega Man.
There's no way Monster Hunter doesn't have another expansion, right? There's no way Iceborne's just it.
It might be it.
Like, there's going to be another Iceborne. Right. Yeah.
Good but, like, question. I wonder if
they started to drop of that.
It's like World 2 or another expansion.
I think they'll
go
to World 2.
Huh.
Yeah.
It is an interesting question.
Like, I'm shocked they actually just did an expansion.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But I'd still go even. But I'd be surprised if they drop.
Baby.
World 2 is next gen. So, yeah, maybe they would do a whole new game because they're going next gen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Atlas.
Kind
of, you know.
Persona.
Just Persona.
I don't think
man.
They'll have anything. That other fantasy game they're working on, I don't foresee coming out for a long time.
Yeah, I think over the next month, we're just going to see 5R and 5S.
SMT 5, dude. Was that even coming out?
Or Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Are they going down?
No. I think they'll be even because they got Persona Q coming out and stuff like that.
Okay. Kind of seems like they're coasting to me.
I mean, they just take a long time for a lot of, like,
it
depends.
It sounds like, it also sounds like they salvaged the Catherine full body stuff as well.
They did. They changed the stuff
with the
localization.
With the third Catherine, yeah.
Sure. Retro Studios.
Retro?
Yeah, baby.
Whatever they're doing. Whoa. Up.
Just tell me up, baby. Tell me up.
Up, up.
Damiani, tell me up.
I don't know if we're going to see Metroid next year, so how you get a...
I think we'll see it.
We're going to see it,
I don't know if it'll be out, but I think we'll see it.
Wow.
I think it's early.
Wow.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm convinced.
You're right,
I'm convinced.
Dude.
I'm convinced at this point.
No, let's say they started full development like 3 months ago, right? Like, yeah, it's reasonable.
It's
to
weird
think
at
it'll
this
be a
point
while.
To have seen an actual in-game representation of Breath of the Wild 2 and nothing for Prime 4.
I
did not think we would be here.
Yeah. Until I see something of Prime 4, even the trilogy, like, okay, that's cool, but. That was something they made already. They're just remastering in HD. I expect that to be good. Mm-hmm. Until I see Metroid Prime 4 and it actually wows me, like, they're at a low point for me right now.
Yeah.
They've been at a low point for a few years.
Wait,
since
when did
Tropical
Freeze come out?
That was 2013.
So was that their last game?
Tropical Freeze came out in 2013 for Wii U.
Wasn't that their last game?
Dang, dude.
Yeah, that was 2013. Whoa. It's been
so they have to been doing something for years at least.
Before it came out on Switch, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they have two games.
I think Schreier said at least one game has been canceled since then.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we don't know.
Star Fox.
He doesn't have the full-on scoops. So yeah, we don't really know what's been going on. Do you think there's a chance when we see 2014?
Okay.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years, sorry. Thank you.
Do you think there's a chance when we see Metroid Prime 4 that we're not totally stoked? When we see that first trailer, is there a chance that it's like, you know, Avengers? It's like, well, wait, come on.
Slim.
And it's over? Slim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's no rush at this point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that have put it in our mind that this is far away. And so I think just capitalize on that. Take your time.
Sure.
Like Cyberpunk, just no rush.
Yeah. Worst case, it looks too much like the original Metroid Prime. Like they're not doing anything radically new.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just, oh, they're playing it safe because whatever they were trying to do before was a train wreck. And so they just want to put out another entry that...
I mean, I think they kind of have to reel it back, man. They got to make it more like Prime 1 than Prime 3.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, if they show a bunch of, like, NPCs and you're, like, having conversations with like, more
I think the expectation is that next Metroid, even if it's called Prime 4, is that it needs to be... doing something new and as big of a deal as like Breath of the Wild did.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where I think they understand expectations are out, like off the charts for this.
Which is great.
Like,
I mean, like Metroid
it's a little
Prime,
unreal. It's a little unrealistic, the expectations for it.
Prime 1 was kind of that.
Oh,
Prime
yeah.
Prime 1 was kind of like, major rethinking, just like we're going to take everything that made that original so great, we're going to apply it to this whole world. And
remember, this,
that, man.
It's still, I know they wouldn't pick the name Prime even in the teaser logo if it didn't have some like connections to that, but obviously like they haven't settled on a title yet, so there's still time for them to be like,
yeah, they could change stuff.
Yeah, the subtitle could be like, oh, that's clearly hinting at this is going to do something radically different
super,
or something like that.
Super Metroid.
I had a tricky one.
Okay.
Ninja Theory.
A year from now?
A year from now. I don't know if we'll see their new game and we'll have been playing that weird battler game.
I think they'll be...
What's it called? Bone Lust?
Bleeding Edge.
Bleeding Edge.
Bloody Edge was Bud's character.
Yes. Bloody Edge, Bleeding Edge.
I think it'll be the same. Yeah. But this game is very different from what they're usually known for doing, like single-player story-driven games.
Yeah.
I wonder if this will jive with their diehard fans that much.
Yeah, it's potentially got a huge audience because, hey, if you're paying for Game Pass, you just got this coming in. And so you have, like, a huge online player base day one, which is kind of cool. It could be huge.
Could be kind of an Apex situation.
Yeah. Or, you know, it could be, like, a Crackdown 3, where it's just like, burp, burp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Crackdown 3, we're also, like, Game Pass buds. It's going to be huge. Burp, burp. But, like, Game Pass can't save some games. Sea of Thieves, it can project big time. It could help you out. But it's, like, some games, you know, are just unsalvageable. Yeah, I do wonder where this one will fall. Okay. Team Ninja. While we're talking about ninjas.
Team Ninja?
Yeah. Team Ninja putting out Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3?
Ninja got in 4.
Gotta be happy.
Real
right?
deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's happening. It's been a long time.
I don't know if we'll have any announcements from them besides this Marvel thing. Because we had Dead or Alive this last year. Right?
Oh, Neo 2 is coming out. That's them.
It is them.
Yeah, so up.
They're going to be way up, Brad.
Yeah.
Good point,
go.
Dude.
Good
I forgot
point.
About Neo 2. That's coming out this year, dude.
It's going to be funny, like, getting confused over Avengers versus Ultimate Alliance added characters. You're just like, hey, dude, is Doctor Strange was just added to Avengers. Like, no, Ultimate Alliance. Like, oh, right. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah. you're right, man. Well, I don't think there's going to be a lot of overlap, to be honest. Sega.
Well, they keep saying they're planning something big for Sega Sonic's 30th birthday next year.
Really?
Yeah.
Sonic Boom 2.
Damiani, what could they be? The best possible
Sonic
thing
Mania
is just
2.
Another Sonic game, right?
Sonic like, Mania 2.
Yeah, maybe
is
Mania
is PSO 2 next year as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Up, baby, they're, up.
Just giving you some stuff.
They're killing it on the PC front. I really respect
what
they do. Yeah,
and Yakuza games, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all the storefront controversy, Shenmue 3. Oh, no, that's not them. Damn it. Shit.
No.
Sorry, Sega.
Have we had one down yet?
You're a bad guy, Sega. You're messing with me.
We've had downs.
I want to give something down.
Okay.
Give it down.
Yes. This is funny. WB Montreal was listed twice. They really wanted our opinion on that.
Down.
Sony's Japan Studio.
Oh.
Japan Studio?
Mm-hmm.
I usually like what they do. So up. Usually what they're involved in.
Whoa.
Depends if they have something for launch by PS5.
Why you're sighing so much, Damiani? Why?
They could have something at launch for PS5?
Yeah, man. Ape Escape.
Puppeteer 2, baby!
What are you thinking, dude? They're going to announce Ape Escape for PS4. They're going to release it that year, dude. We're going to be capturing monkeys, and you're going to be clapping the whole time, and then you're going to say, man, they're way up. Way, way up.
Way up, dude. Catching apes? Hell yeah.
So Damiani's skepticism is realistic. Yeah. Sony's Japan studio is not its number one studio, right? Which is kind of crazy, but yeah, you know. They've
been helping out on, like, From Software games.
Right.
Like Bloodborne and Deracina and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But their solo stuff doesn't Bloodborne really 2. Blow up too big.
They're going to be helping on that.
Yeah, it's
been
a while.
Okay, and then we'll blow up. Let's go.
Okay. I'll give you that.
All right, Jones, how about this? A BioWare.
Ooh, boy.
I wanted to throw you a down, man. You don't feel down on BioWare?
Because Dragon Age could do something weird. Dragon Age could come back in some...
It's going to do something weird.
Do some weird delay or some trailer that... So like some Avengers thing or something when they see it. It's just like, oh, that's not what we thought this was going to be. And
I mean, they already kind of hinted it's not going to be what we think it's going to be. That it's going to be like, hey, it's a living, breathing story. It's going to change throughout the year.
The year?
Yeah,
like,
man.
A game of service?
So it's a game of, they've promised games, it's a game of service.
Oh, no.
Which sucks. Medieval fantasy style.
Yeah. Medieval loot game.
Ancient Borderlands.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Well, I'd say more fantasy. I wouldn't call it medieval necessarily.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Huh. Thank you.
But what if it's cool?
What if
they make an auto chess game?
They can, and then they would be up. Generally, I'm not like, wow. Like, think about a year ago, we had not launched Anthem yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we would have said, up, 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 baby. This is going to be huge. EA is fully supporting them. They're going to have another huge release. This is going to be their next Mass Effect.
The A-Team.
Yes.
The thing about down is it doesn't have to be like a plummet.
Right.
You know, it can still just be 0.1 of a percent, and that's still technically down.
Yeah.
So I think, there'll just be general fatigue where Dragon Age is taking longer. You know, Anthem hasn't had a lot of cool updates.
I don't even know if we'll see Dragon Age next year, so... Might just be the same.
Thing is, they pushed out the Game Awards trailer just to get people happy.
I think
they're gonna pump the brakes though.
I should hope so. You're right. They need to change a course.
They need to.
Yeah.
Do you think if they canceled Anthem, it would be an up?
Man, if Anthem was canceled earlier than Old Republic, oh boy.
The sad thing is, Anthem is basically canceled. Like, they really gutted the team who was working on it. Those people who are left are working as hard as they can, but they can't implement all the things that were promised for Anthem. It's, truly sad. I think it is canceled, basically.
Yeah, they're probably just moving on to the next thing.
Right. They had this whole roadmap with this presumed team of this many people, and they're like, hey, we're going to take in, most of those people onto some other project. Why don't all of you try to execute this roadmap? It's like, what? We can't.
Yeah.
Oh, hurts. Sorry, BioWare. Nothing personal. I bet on The Herd with Colin Coward, that was a 3-minute segment.
Yeah.
He's very concise.
Brady, up or down?
Up, up, up. He loves Tom Brady. Yeah. Let's do one more.
It's like the only football player I know.
Let us do a philosophical question.
All right.
Ooh. We got to get into philosophy here. Allies, I turn to you with turbulent thoughts. With the recent release of Final Fantasy XIV Storm Shadowbringers, I decided to update my playable character, going so far as to change race entirely. Now, I have been with this avatar since day one, and we've shared many an adventure across Eorzea. However, I can't help but shake the niggle that I've done dirty on my main. Have I essentially rolled a new character? Or is race faction change within world and with lore reasoning okay in your book? Is it still my character? Have yourselves any examples where you've had a similar struggle? Love and respect, allies. Chris from Western Australia.
Even when I get a 14 question on this podcast, it's a Balmung player asking about RP stuff.
It's not enough
you ask Yoshi P all your Balmung RP questions. You got to ask it to us now. That sounds like a, like the meme is like, that sounds like an RP question.
It is an RP
and like
question.
Valmong's RP server. So people get angry. So like people get upset when people ask RP questions of Yoshi P and they're like, no, talk about game updates. Stop talking. Yeah. Like, why did this race do this? They're like, no one cares. Like, no, yeah. It's that whole thing.
Yeah. I think this question stretches beyond Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah. But I would,
yeah. From my exposure to 14, I think you kind of have to make up your own lore boundaries. Kind of what. Because if you really look at the way that world is built and the way that story is told, granted, I have not played any expansions. This is just like the main, the original, but Realm Reborn. Like, you know, there's convertibles driving around and lightning's attacking monsters. And
Dungani's got a stupid robot gorilla with a jetpack right now.
That every 5 seconds someone goes, is that Winston from Overwatch?
Yeah,
it is.
This weekend had like at least every 5 minutes someone new coming and go, oh, whoa, Winston from Overwatch is in 14. I was like, this is never going to die.
So it's a fair point.
Those things, whenever they do those things, I'm like, oh, you're bummer. Like that, you know, for me as a player, that would kind of mess with my, because when I have played MMOs in the past, I get very much into lore, that's why I get immersed. I look around the world. Mm-hmm. I think, look at my character, look at this world that I'm in, and then something like that will maybe come along and break it. Or even like when they make class changes, I remember, you know, coming back to Warcraft after a while, and like my class was completely different now, and I had to wonder, like, do I even want to play this anymore? Because this is not the style of play. And so I think it's kind of on you to figure out like who you are and what your place in this world is.
Yeah.
So I think that's totally fine.
Listen, I'll say this.
Write your own story.
You are the soul of the character. The way your avatar looks is just a shell of your character. What really matters is the inside of the character. It'll always be you. It'll always be your character. It just looks different. You can make up some RP reason for why it looks different.
Switching races?
You touch some crystal and you change race, like whatever.
Yeah.
But you will always be that character, even if you change the way they look. It's always your character.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't sweat it.
Depends on, there's RP. I mean, beyond 14, like almost every MMO has like online communities that are dedicated to RPing and stuff. So like there'll be like server rules, like where you said, like, hey, if you hang on this area, like you shouldn't be like using this like stupid looking mount over here. Like you'll get kind of like nudged, like, hey, you shouldn't be doing that and stuff. And there'll be servers where it's like you come out of this really intense like cutscene where you're supposed to be like isolated and you're dropped into like a deluge of people that's around this like spot that you're supposed to be isolated. It's like, oh, hi everybody. Yeah. Like this weird, like it goes with the territory there. But I mean, as Joan said, it's up to you. Like if you want to make up your own story, go ahead. I mean, 14 specifically crafts a pretty good story for your own character as well.
But you can't all be the Warrior of Light, right? Like,
yeah, like the race chain stuff. Like, it's depends. If you take it seriously, then sure, maybe you know it is a big deal for you, and you're having second thoughts. But if you're just there to have like fun, it's not that big of a deal.
You know what you should do is like RP, like walking awkwardly. Like if I became an attractive bunny woman suddenly, I wouldn't be able to walk right. So I think this person, when you're playing your character, you should like kind of like walk in stutters in weird ways.
I wish you could. Yeah, you could do an emote or something and do that and pull it off.
And you can like mess up your words a little bit. Just like, I'm sorry, I'm new to this language.
Yeah,
you can do things like that.
Also, think of the boon that you're getting by getting more lore. Like you're seeing this world from another perspective, and so you, as a player, you are actually enriching your experience by getting more. I mean, I don't know how much if certain characters will treat you differently or say different things, or if you talk to someone from your race, or if you're only allowed into certain areas, or if you go, you know, where the Lalafell come from, and they, you know, you like might talk to some people, or might open up some quests. I remember one really cool thing in Warcraft when Death Knights came out, and so you could just make a level 55 character out of nothing, and so I made a Horde character, and I like went into Horde areas. I was like, I've never, ever been in here because I was only Alliance.
Oh, for sure.
And it's like, man, the Horde definitely has better interior designers than the Alliance does. I'm missing out. Oh, yeah. Like, all those areas are way cooler than the Alliance. I'm always a good guy when I play games. So, like, I have no regrets from playing Alliance.
Yeah,
but I really dug that. It was kind of fun. I was like behind enemy lines. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I appreciated that.
I will say if you are, I don't know what they didn't say what their 14 race is, but they're a Lalafell. Definitely, yes, you should definitely change, you know, being a potato is never a good thing in Final Fantasy 14.
What's a potato?
That's the nickname for Lalafells in Final Fantasy 14.
Why?
You call them potatoes? They'll take way too long to go over here.
Because they're little?
Yes.
Was there hate for the Tarutaru in 11? What's it with the Lalafell?
I don't know about 11.
Lalafell is
in 14, it's a joke. I don't know if it was ever serious in 11 or something. This is just a meme. Like, this is just a joke. People call
potato.
Potatoes.
I think they're cute.
Because I love that in 11, that, like, one of the highest level, you know, most advanced characters that I met in 11 who helped me a lot, shout out to Sharky, was a little Tarutaru. And so it was fun, you know, having him really awesome armor, and I'm, like, 30 levels below him, and he's, like, like, here, go this way. And then I would do something and he'd clap.
See?
And I'm just like,
adventurers,
that's so cool.
Bonding, you know, and stuff.
This little tiny guy is such a badass.
See, that's what matters, honestly, yeah. And specifically 14, there's no concern. This person probably already knows it. Like, there's no concerns about if you pick X race, you're going to be better expected to do these jobs. None of that, like, exists.
Right.
Yeah, it's like the most minuscule of the minuscule that's held over from 1.0, but in the broadest sense of terms, it does not matter. You don't have to worry about
matter,
that.
Baby.
So be what you want to be. Have a good time and stuff.
Yeah. There's definitely been, like, Pokemon I got for free that I don't feel like are real Pokemon.
Oh.
I'm like, you're not real. You're not from this world. You're just a digital giveaway.
Like Farfetch'd?
No, Farfetch'd is legit, dude. He has a name. He comes in from a character in-game.
Oh.
But sometimes it's like, come in to GameStop and just let us transfer a character right into your game.
Oh.
And it's like a level 100 Arceus. It's just like, I'm God now. It's like, you're not, dude.
Have you ever come across someone? I haven't. I'm curious if you have. Come across anyone who actually tried to make up a RP reason for going to GameStop, like fan fiction, where it's like it's a real, like it totally works within my
headcanon.
Aren't
those the Pokemon that deserve the most love, Kyle?
Yeah, I guess so. The GameStop ones.
The GameStop.
I haven't seen it.
Who's got a GameStop fan fiction for us? Of how
it's
you
not their
need
fault.
To.
Third GameStop.
It's not beyond me though. I love that. Yeah.
I think that'd be so cool.
Do not regret changing races.
Yes, don't.
Just find a
just
way.
Don't
touch
do
the crystal.
Don't get addicted to it. I've heard stories of people spending lots of money because it's like $10 a pop or something to change in 14.
Oh,
yeah, it costs money.
So some people are just like, ooh, and now I want to be a lion.
You can change like your hairstyle and like
for $10.
No, for free.
No. Gotcha.
There's very like
small changes.
Yeah, like but you can't change race without paying. For
every time I see your character, you have the exact same hairstyle, dude.
Yeah, I know because I maintain my character.
I think a character would change your hairstyle,
dude. I changed mine for the first time ever since Realm of Born.
They don't have the correct short hair hairstyle that matches short hair Korra. So I've tried. I tried different ones. Like, there's a
you tried it out.
Kyle, I rocked the Noctis haircut briefly.
Just because it was
hilarious to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've done stuff like that. Like I've made lightning temporarily. Like I walked out, I was like, I got the lightning outfit. Just
it's
walked
good
around
haircut,
and told
man.
People. Yeah, it's like
it's good
they
haircut.
Have like all the type zero haircuts from the class, the students from that as well. Yeah, you could look like the thing they're doing now, Brad. They have a sword now for Dark Knight that looks like Cloud's Buster Sword.
Excuse me?
And people are trying to make him look like it. And there's a serpent boss in a marsh, an enemy in a marsh area that people are trying to do. Like someone on Reddit did a photo, like, look.
He's fighting the snake?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Like, oh, no. This is so cool.
Oh, my goodness.
That is lore breaking. That one I can't.
Yeah. Okay, can't
oh, the that. Game, the lore breaking is all over the place.
Kyle, I played chicken in Cloud's Advent Children motorcycle with the Regalia on a train track.
So I have a question. I'm sorry. We've talked about 14 way too much, but if I'm on the RP server, can I take out the Regalia, or is that a big no-no?
I have no idea.
Probably in like general areas, but if there's like an area that's like been designated, like we're doing RP over here, they'll probably like send you a message like, hey, we're doing an event over here. Could you like not be over here for a bit? They're usually respectful of like there's not a main quest over here, so like we're not like hogging an area where people need to be.
Got it. If I show up with my stupid gorilla, would they be like, come on, man?
If you're trying to like, if you're trying to ruin, they were like told you, hey, we're doing this. Could you not?
But what if like, can you get kicked off the server?
No.
Like, what if I
went
into the group and was just doing donuts on my motorcycle in front of them?
You will not get in like legit trouble. But you'll probably just get blacklisted by a bunch of players. They'll be like, oh, like this guy's not cool. Like, you know, he didn't respect us stuff. So like, we were trying to do something fun and they were just kind of being a jerk about it. So. Mm-hmm.
You're just making this prospect more attractive to Kyle.
Kyle. So, yeah. Like, there's a whole tavern, Kyle, where, like, you got to, like, go in there in character. And if you don't, they're like, excuse me, you mean this, right? They'll, like, remind you. And,
that's funny. And they'll call you by, the name that's presented.
Yep.
I had a long-held fantasy. So, in the town I grew up in, they did Civil War reenactments. I always wanted to just come in as Neo and just dodge all the bullets. This is like a fantasy I've had forever. Just like, just stand in the middle where they're just like.
We just need to make Kyle win a bet someday, and he gets to go back there and he goes, okay, Kyle, you won. Name one thing you want.
Yes.
It just cuts to him walking out like it's like a Civil War battlefield. Like, what the hell is this? And he just like puts on his leather jacket.
That is my make-a-wish for sure.
That's really good.
That's my make-a-wish.
We'll make this happen. I want to see this.
It is time for bets. Next week's bet. Oh, Mario Maker 2.
Mm.
Mario Maker 2 was released last Friday. But we're into it. I'm playing it, enjoying this. If you click on the tab for popular levels, you know, we went to the course world. We're checking out the most popular levels. If you click on the most popular level, it has a certain amount of hearts. Currently, the number one most popular level has 114,848 hearts. That is how many people liked that level. That's crazy. To have 100,000 people play your level, pretty nifty. When we do this exact same thing this time next week, what will the most popular level have? How many hearts will it have, Brandon Jones?
160K. Going big.
Okay. Bradley Ellis.
165K.
Oh, no!
Michael Damiani.
200,000.
Oh, I think he's going to win. I went 178,002. Oh. Ian Hink.
Dang, I went 176K.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Cool range. Bets.
Let me lock that in. Yeah, those were super close. Last week we had a bet on, Super Mario Maker 2. I went to the 10 most recent reviews on OpenCritic. How many times would I see the word creativity? And by the way, OpenCritic has their own Patreon, I realized. Like when you go there, they're like, hey, all we need is like $447 a month to just function. Oh. And so like they have a little meter of how close they are. They're super close, but check them out. I just felt obligated because we use them so much. Okay, how many times would I see the word creativity? Ben bet 3, Blood bet 8, I bet 6, Ian bet 7. Jones, you got a guess? How many times I saw the word creativity?
9.
1.
Whoa.
Wow.
So Ben.
1 in 10 reviews. If I'd used the word I messed up. Creative.
Oh, that's it. Say, yeah.
You would have won. Yeah. It would have been 9 or 8. It would have been a lot for creative. Creativity, only 1. I messed up. So that's a Ben win. So that brings our scores to Scrappy Little Pigs, 14.
Ew-wee.
Gorgeous Gorillas, 12. hey, everybody. We are on Patreon as well. We do cool things for people who like this podcast. Like if you want this podcast early, if you're $5 and up on Patreon, you get that on Wednesdays as opposed to Fridays, as well as many of our other shows early access as well. So check that out. You can see what kind of shows we do, what kind of podcasts we do, what kind of live streams we do. Easy Allies. Patreon.com/EasyAllies. I do want to say also that there has been an extension to the Glennie's Cauldron Jam. We're adding one more week.
Oh.
Nice.
Get your games in by July 12th.
Delayed.
Yeah.
Glennie's Cauldron game delayed.
And if you like that podcast halftime thing,
yeah,
those are sponsors of the podcast specifically. It is our second highest tier. The mega sponsor means you're a sponsor of the this podcast and Frame Trap. Mm-hmm. We have a mega sponsor locked in for July, but we have a couple sponsor slots open.
Cool.
So if you would like to be a sponsor of Easy Allies for this podcast exclusively, that is our $500 level. You can do that for the month of August.
Nice.
So
nice.
We like to, you know,
it's an eight
slot cap. And we're looking for more sponsors.
Nice. And Jones will read what you send.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether I'm here or not, in person or in the booth.
In the booth in your living room? You said your office is in the living room.
In the booth in the, still the booth is still in the garage. A lot of stuff is, a lot of work stuff has moved out of the garage.
Your in-laws moved into.
Right. Which I didn't get into. Yeah, that's. Wasn't sure how our community was going to feel about that.
Was that a previous?
You did what with the garage?
Yeah. Well, hey, man, you gotta.
We gotta sleep somewhere.
Space. Yeah, exactly. That's funny, man. Okay. Who was in Brad's seat? No, Brad is in Ben's seat. Okay. Oh. So Brad.
Yeah.
You get the right and the responsibility to share your Twitter handle with the world. You get to promote any Easy Allies video you would like to promote. You get the final word on anything you've disagreed with, want to reiterate, or just popped into your head. And you get to sign off with your trademark sign off. Take it away, Brad.
Oh, okay. You can follow me on Twitter at BradleyEllis87. I want to promote for video our most recent countdown, Top 10 Games Revisit. I talked about Tony Hawk, the Tony Hawk franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Real fun playing it. Play a little Darth Maul action there, Kyle.
Which one? Cool. Is that 3?
It's 3.
Nice.
It's real fun, man. So yeah. Give it a check. Check it out. What were the other parts?
Games, the official.
One more time.
Oh.
It's been a long week.
The official title.
It's been a long week.
It's been a long week.
I feel you, Brad.
Yeah.
Longer for Jones, I guess. Yeah.
It's not a contest.
Yeah. Video games are cool.
Mm.
And trademark sign off. New one.
what I'm not a humongous fan of is Final Fantasy VII. What I am a huge fan of is marketing campaigns.
Sexy.